Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What is up, fight fans? We welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobi. I have a fun one planned for you today. Joining us on the show, Clarissa Shields. Yes, she was in the news this past week. She has a fight upcoming on March 5th in the boxing ring. Not the MMA cage, the boxing ring, as she goes to clear out another division. 168 is on her mind, and she's looking to become the first male or female to be simultaneously undisputed champion. That is impressive stuff. She takes on Mary Eve Decaire over on Fight TV pay-per-view March 5th. We'll get her thoughts on transitioning into MMA. She's training with John Jones and Holly Holm right now, as well as boxing. So there's a lot going on with Clarissa Shields, and of course, the state of women's boxing. That's something that you always have to talk about with Shields. She's an ambassador for women's boxing, and a great one at that. So looking forward to that interview. Interview with Clarissa Shields. I'm going to ask you to do something for me now here on Inside Boxing Live. Go to your phone and subscribe to our podcast over on Apple Podcasts. That way you can get the show delivered right to your phone, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can also go to YouTube and type in CompuBox TV. That's where we drop a lot of our fight previews, a lot of our snippets, and the show as well. And you can catch the show every single Friday night on the Fubo Sports Network, Friday nights at 7 p.m. Okay, here it is, Clarissa Shields. Okay, we are joined right now by the GOAT, the greatest women boxer of all time. There's Clarissa Shields joining us, and some big fight coming up for you March 5th. A lot of history on the line. Your first fight in Flint, Michigan. The first all-women's pay-per-view. The first women's to headline a pay-per-view since 2001. You're looking to become the first undisputed in two weight classes, either male or female. So, man, that's a lot of history to get out of the way in one night. I'm sure you're super excited for it. First of all, how you doing? And welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm super excited. It's been a long time coming. I don't know when the last time I went a year without boxing. It'll be over a year, March 5th. But I've been in the gym consistently. You know, last year, 2020, I was able to make history, become a 3-time division world champion. And I thought that me doing that would just open up my year. But then COVID hit, and then cancellations hit, and then sexism hit once the world opened back up a little bit. And now we're here, and now I'm having my first pay-per-view fight, which I'm just really over the top, because now that it hasn't been once in 2001, but we're in a different time now in women's boxing. I don't know the numbers of the 2001 pay-per-view. But what I do know is that boxing has come a very long way. I've accomplished a lot, and I'm respected, not just in boxing by the females, but in boxing by the males, in boxing worldwide, rappers, singers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just excited to see how everything turns out, and we can start a new wave. You know, I think all the super fights should be women pay-per-view. Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor, pay-per-view. You know, Franchon Cruz versus Ellen Sederos, pay-per-view. Like, this is setting the way, setting the tone.
Right. If men fight pay-per-views, there's no reason women don't have that same luxury. Taking the fight taking your career into your own hands. And before we get into the fighting stuff, talk about this pay-per-view, the fact that the business side of things, and you talk about the sexism, and you talked about all the hurdles that you have to cross, not just with COVID and everything, just, you know, being a female boxer in a male dominating a world. Do you see this, like, the fact that you're this fight is on pay-per-view, do you see that as a little bit of an indictment on women's boxing, that you can't fight on regular short time, you got to fight on pay-per-view? People will bring that up. What do you say to that?
Bring up which part?
The fact that you have to go to pay-per-view could be looked at as an indictment on women's boxing. Like, it seems like it's unfair that you have to take these steps.
I will say that it's a little bit unfair, you know, because of all the things that I've accomplished and other women before me had kind of laid down stones to where I can be, to where I am.
Right.
And then to be back here, but I think pay-per-view is a plus for us, because what I get all the time, you know, from trolls or from people who feel like they know boxing, they say, you know, I was paid $350K for a boxing match before, and that's kind of high, right? That's a lot of money for a woman athlete, a woman boxer to be paid. And I hear people say, like, when I say, okay, now I want to fight for $500,000, $500K, people say, well, you're not worth that, right? And how do you know if I'm worth that or not?
Right.
You know, like, this is setting it up to where they say, okay, we should get paid by the number of viewers that we bring in. Well, I've done 430,000 viewers on Showtime.
Yep.
I did that. I've 450K viewers on Showtime. I had those kind of numbers. Fighters don't even get those kind of numbers who fight main event Showtime on a Friday or like a Saturday. I'm up there in numbers with Errol Spence and Danny Garcia.
Yeah, there's no disputing that. And you built it yourself. You know, you're a two-time Olympic champion. By the time you made your pro debut, people knew who you were. There's an interest in your career. Now you're moving over to MMA. I think you're doing great things. I mean, you're taking it into your own hands. I think that if you're a boxing fan and you're criticizing that, you're a hypocrite, because there are boxers that have taken their careers into their own hands. Look at Floyd Mayweather. He was signed with Top Rank, right, for all those years, and he left. And he was criticized at the time. They said, there's no way you can be able to do that on your own. It gets to the point, it's a sport where you have to do it on your own sometimes. You can't depend on networks, you can't depend on management, you have to take it into your own hands, and that's what's going to happen on March 5th, and it stinks that we have to talk about all these things before we, you know, actually talk about the fights, but it is what it is, and I know that you're willing to talk about these things, and that's why I think you're a great ambassador for women's boxing. But let's talk about the fight. Now, 154 pounds... We got Mary Eve DeCarey, who's also a champion, the IBF champion. There'll be all the belts on the line. Going to look to be undisputed in two different weight classes. I know that you're in boxing mode now. I know that we'll talk about MMA in a second, but now you're in boxing mode. What's the difference, and what can you say about Mary Eve DeCarey as a fighter?
I'll say that this is the longest I've ever had to prepare for a fight. We were supposed to fight May 9th, and it got postponed, canceled, whatever. And now we're here. Marie Eve DeCarey we're about the same height. She's undefeated, 17-0. She'll be my first world champion southpaw who I boxed against. So I'm looking forward to fighting her. And you know, any fighter that's undefeated, you know, they have this certain pride about themselves, about not losing the O.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And for her, it's like definitely multiplied, because she's a world champion and she's coming not just representing her belts, but representing her country of Canada. So I'm looking forward to see what she brings to the table, because the better she fights, the better I'll fight and the better I'll perform, because I always outperform all my opponents. But I just feel like she has a different grit, and she's coming to my hometown. So she knows that she has to come with it. So
yeah,
this is going to be an exciting fight, and I'm ready.
Flint, Michigan, March 5th. I'll actually be in attendance. I'll be on the broadcast. I'll be hosting the pay-per-view and ringside reporter. I'm looking forward to being there for history. And I know there's a lot more surprises in store in terms of the broadcast. So it's going to be an awesome night on March 5th. Let's talk a little bit about your MMA. That is another intriguing aspect of your career. I know that I read a little bit up on it about how you split up the days between boxing and MMA. One day you're doing boxing stuff, which you said you can do in your sleep, and I don't doubt that. But now it's all boxing, right? It's just strictly boxing from here on out until March 5th the fight is over?
I'm actually finishing out the week. I'm actually here in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have today, tomorrow of MMA training, and then I fly home Saturday. And then once Monday comes, that's when I'll start all the boxing training.
Nice.
And no more MMA up till the fight of March 5th. But MMA has been a joy for me, honestly. Like, it's hard, but it just reminds me of when I was a kid coming up in boxing, when I was learning boxing, and I was catching on to everything fast. And I was adding so many things to my arsenal and learning my body. But now I learned that the whole body is like a full mechanic. Like, I know I use my legs and stuff in boxing, but Now I'm throwing 1-2s and throwing high kicks.
What's the hardest part? What's been the hardest part in terms of the transition and training?
The hardest part is when they tell me, hey, today we're not doing anything, but you're going to fight. You're going to fight on your back.
Oh, wow.
That's the hardest for me. That's jujitsu, right? So they have me on my back and, you know, showing me all these moves and techniques and things on how to get up and how to manipulate people when they're on the ground. And that's the hardest part for me. Some days, some stuff I catch on very, very easy to, and I'm able to do it. I'm just not used to doing it. It's not like when you're a stand-up boxer, you're still using your hands. Mm-hmm. Now you're on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different view. It's a whole different avenue. And it makes, when you first get down there, you feel so vulnerable. You know, and I had to deal with that for the first few weeks. And now I get on the ground, and I'm kind of just like, okay, all right. Dude, I see what I got to watch out for. I see what I can do. And I'm just getting more comfortable. And it's been a whole lot of fun. And to go back to the pay-per-view, women's MMA are on pay-per-view every fight.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a card that doesn't have a woman's fight on there. So when they told me that I would have my own pay-per-view headliner on Fight TV, it just, to me, makes me think of the beginning of women's MMA, how nobody thought it would do well and women don't sell. And now women are one of the main attractions. And it should be the same way in boxing. They're just not giving us those opportunities. So I'm super excited to show the world that women's boxing is just as big as women's MMA.
Yeah.
Or it has a possibility to be. We just got to start somewhere. And this is the start.
Yeah, you got
to
start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And you're right. This is a good start. So you're saying that Showtime doesn't value women's boxing because they had made a huge investment in the past. It's just very hard to figure out why you're not fighting on Showtime.
Well, it's so weird. I was promised so many dates, you know, and they were, oh, we're going to do this with you. We're going to do that for you. Excited for, you know, end of 2020. And then I just got put on a back burner and never really given an explanation to why. And the only reason that I could think of why is because I'm a woman. It can't be because of the ratings, because I have some of the highest ratings. It can't be because of the belts or the record. That's the only reason why, is because I'm a woman and they don't feel as if I'm important.
Do you think they don't value women's boxing? Because Showtime has made a big investment in it. Or do you think they just, I don't know what it is. It's such a hard thing to figure out.
I appreciate them for what they did, but you can't just drop the ball. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you were really building up women's boxing and building up me to represent women's boxing, you can't just drop the ball. And that's where I'm at with it. And, you know, thanks to them for all that they did. But women's boxing is not a charity case. We're real fighters, you know, and that's why I'm taking my career into my own hands, because I'm not going to sit out for another year waiting on Showtime, DAZN, ESPN, or PBC to say, hey, we want you to fight on this day or that day, and then just drop the ball. Like, I have to do it myself.
Right.
And that's why I'm excited about this all women's card. This mm-hmm. is going to be great.
All right, March 5th, Clarissa Shields going for history as she always does. Who knows? This could be your last boxing match. Do you think about that in terms of what happens if you have a lot of success in MMA? You get into the PFL, you have your first match, you get into that season, you win that $1 million in that tournament, maybe move on to the UFC, who knows? Do you ever think about maybe leaving boxing behind, or is that something that's always going to be a part of you?
Boxing is in my heart. That's one of my first loves, but I just feel like I'm going to continue to fight for women's boxing as long as I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then once I'm done, I can pass the torch down. But I want to accomplish so much in women's boxing. Even though people say I've accomplished everything, it's like, what is everything? You know, like, can I be a 6-time division world champ? You know, can I go to 75 or can I make 147?
Wow.
You know, stuff like that goes in my mind. But I want to take every girl. Oh, like, every girl is undefeated. I want to beat her. So if I can make 147, I want to go down to 147. I want to go to 175. I want to fight Raquel Miller, who I believe 9-0. I want to fight Savannah Marshall. I don't know her record. She fought a bunch of bums.
I'm looking it up right now. She's undefeated. And that's your... Yeah. I had to go back a long time to find your last... The only blemish on your career came in 2009. Yeah. You've won 61 straight fights. Savannah Marshall. Now, I know it was the amateurs. You have to go back to 2009 to find your last loss. You've won 61 straight fights. But she is a champion. She's undefeated. You guys have been chirping back and forth. I love to see that back and forth stuff. Could that potentially be a fight that you have circled for 2021?
I want the fight to happen in 2020. And I want the fight to happen in 2019. I've always called out Savannah Marshall for a fight. Her team said that they weren't interested until she got a belt, or said that she needed more experience or more fights. And but she just fought for my title that was vacated, my WBO title at about 160. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm gonna go and get that back. But right now, I'm worried about Marie Eve DeCare. But I would love to fight her too. You know, maybe she can be next after this fight.
Yeah, you talk about you know, what can drive you and the domination. You know, we also do the punch stats. I'm part of CompuBox, and I got some numbers that you're going to love. You outlanded your 10 pro opponents, 1,432 to 512. That's better than 3-1. I know you love that. See, like, look at that.
That's funny.
So we had a very similar stat for Shakur Stevenson, who also has been dominating. I know you guys are friends. He has very similar punch stats in terms of just pure domination. 1,432 to 512. You're landing 43% of your power, and you limit your opponents to just 6 landed punches per round.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, but that just comes to show you the skill set of it. Like, a lot of girls getting there, and they're having these matches, and they're going back and forth. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, yeah. You know. But for me, I go out there, I use my jab, I move my head, I land some hard shots. I'm in and out, and I know how to dictate movement, and I actually learn the fighter, what's their habits, what's not their habits, and I just break them down, you know. And I wish I had 3-minute rounds, because I would have a lot more knockouts.
Did you think, when's that going to happen? When are the women's boxing going to get moved to 3-minute rounds?
I don't know, but that's something that's also been holding us back, though.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm also fighting for, because people always talk about women who don't have knockouts, right? Well, they like to talk about certain women, as in myself. Mm-hmm. And as you said, I outland my opponents. They land 6 punches a round. I land about 90 to 100. And even though I'm beating these girls up and I'm breaking them down, they get that minute rest after only having to be up and hurt for 2 minutes. And then they recover.
Is it hard to set up your work too? Is it hard to set up a knockout in only 2 minutes?
I would like to think so. I've always heard girls maybe at the minute, 45 second, the 2 minute mark. And right when it's time for me to finish them, ding, 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 they get a minute rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
So a minute will do well. And it will also make women's boxing be respected the same as the men.
Yeah.
We need to fight 3 12-minute rounds. You know, 3 12-minute rounds, just like the men, so they can get the full version of us as fighters.
We gotta even up the score. Just take a look what's going on in U.S. politics. We have a new vice president. It is a female, Kamala Harris. You got to be excited for that, everything that you're about in terms of women empowerment. How do you feel about that?
I'm super excited. You know, Joe Biden is my friend. We got that picture that went viral of him holding my hand.
I saw that.
And I've been explaining that picture because people are just crazy. So Joe Biden, and I met him up in Detroit, and I didn't know that we were supposed to go on stage and talk together. Mm. I was telling him, all right, you know, go out there and kill it out there. And he was like, what? You're coming with me. And I was like, not in front of that big old crowd. And he grabbed my hand, and that's when we were walking to the stage, because I was kind of scared to go out there on stage. I'm like, I didn't even know I was speaking, and I don't know what I'm going to say. So that's how that happened. But it's just one of the funniest things ever whenever somebody brings it up to me.
Yeah, would you now, potentially work with
Kamala Harris? I'm super excited for her. She's a black woman, and I believe that we need a black woman in the White House to represent America, to make our voices be heard. Somebody who's been in the same shoe that we've been in, but also not just black women, but women in general. And women in general are always the ones to get left behind. It's women and children. So we need to be put first 2021 and looking forward.
Things are happening. March 5th, Flint, Michigan, Shields versus Takari. We have a unification bout. You can order it on Fight TV pay-per-view. Women's boxing is on the rise. Coach Shields doing big things in MMA, doing big things in boxing, doing big things, holding hands with the president. I mean, what can't Clutcher Shields do? I'm excited. I will see you March 5th, and we'll have a great time, and more history will be made. Thank you so much for coming on here on Inside Boxing Live.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Special thanks to Clutcher Shields for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. I am excited to head down to Flint, Michigan. I haven't left New York since last March. So, yeah, I am excited to be heading down to Flint, Michigan to cover some her story, not history, her story. It's time for some headlines before we say goodbye. Heading into the weekend, Canelo Alvarez officially back February 27th versus Anvi Yildirim. The fight's going off at Dolphin Stadium over in Miami. Supposed to get 14,000 in attendance for that one. Don't complain that Canelo is fighting Yildirim because this is a bonus fight. Canelo usually fights May and September. I know that's gone off the rails the last couple of years, but he wants to fight in May and he wants to fight in September. So we're getting a bonus Canelo fight on DAZN for a good price off of pay-per-view. This is a good thing. So Canelo Alvarez back in action February 27th. Now, Floyd Mayweather. Yes, he has hair now, and he also has a fiance. Floyd is engaged to Anna Monroe. Let's just say that they met at work. And congrats to him. I know we like to crack a few jokes at Floyd's expense. He's had a tough year. He lost Roger. He lost the mother of his children. So it's been a tough year for Floyd Mayweather. So it's good to see him happy and engaged. And maybe he'll be fighting Logan Paul. What's up with that fight? It's supposed to have happened, or it was supposed to be announced February 20th. That doesn't look like that's happened. You can't talk about Floyd without talking about Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao in the news once again, talking about fighting potentially Errol Spence. Conor McGregor, who is fighting this weekend versus Dustin Poirier. That's a rematch, so you expect Manny to make some noise this weekend after the McGregor fight. Because Manny is in big fish mode. He is looking for the biggest fish out there. Fight maybe two more times in his illustrious career. Call it a day. So you know he's looking to cash out. And no one deserves to cash out more than Manny Pacquiao. So there are names like Errol Spence. It makes the most sense if you want to unify the welterweight division. Conor McGregor fight, I think, is a lock. Talking to Sean Gibbons and talking to Audi Attar. That fight is going to happen. Conor McGregor, win or lose. Against Poirier this weekend. Another name that has been thrown into the rumor mill when it comes to Manny Pacquiao is Ryan Garcia. Yes, Ryan Garcia versus Manny Pacquiao, 23-year-old versus a 41-year-old. Crazier things have happened. Listen, crazier things have happened in the world of boxing. I would not be shocked to see that fight, kind of matriculate and gain steam because, like I said, Pacquiao's looking for the biggest fights possible. Speaking of the old guard, let's talk about the new guard in the welterweight division, Jerron Boots Ennis fighting in May against Sergey Lipinets. This right here is a step up. It's going to be a month after Virgil Ortiz's step up against Maurice Hooker. That fight's going off on DAZN. Those are the two names in the welterweight division that are going to take it to the next level and kind of get the torch patched to them. It's Boots Ennis and it's Virgil Ortiz. But Boots Ennis versus Sergey Lipinets, that is a fire fight. It's a great one for Ennis. I think Ennis should come out on top on that one because I just think he's an exceptional talent. But there's a lot of good fights heating up. There's a lot of fights being made and being rumored in boxing right now. Canelo just getting in the mix in February. We haven't even got to Fury and Joshua Wilder's coming back. Andy Ruiz is coming back. What's going to go on with these young guns? What's going to go on with the Charlos at 154 and 160? It's a great time to be a boxing fan. I'm telling you, even the celebrity boxing world is heating up. We always have you covered here on Inside Boxing Live. We'll see you next week.